we will read from the book of Psalms, the first part of Psalm 31, and then a selection from Luke chapter 23, and then we'll sing number 80 as listed there, the fourth stanza, "To thee my spirit I commend." And that's the Old Testament rendering of Jesus saying on the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Psalm 31, a psalm of David to the chief musician. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." And then finally, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23, beginning at verse 44. Through 49. Luke 23, verse 44. "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts, and returned, and all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things." Here ends the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Blessed are they who hear, understand, and keep God's holy word. Amen. Our text this evening is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, especially verse 46. The last saying of Christ from the cross, 46, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And we'll sing from Psalm number 25, number 415, And we'll sing the first stanza and the very last stanza. Unto Thee, O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul, and keep my soul, O gracious Savior. Come, I pray, deliver me. 1 and 10 of 415. Beloved congregation, it had been dark from the 6th hour unto the 9th hour on Golgotha. Think of that for a moment. Who was hanging on the cross in the middle of the three? In the middle of the other two? He who was the light of the world. But he had moved into the dreadful night of darkness, of outer darkness. And we would not know what had happened during those 3 hours if the Lord Jesus Christ had himself not told us what had happened and what that had meant to him. And he said, at the end of those 3 hours, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, at the 9th hour, so that was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that Friday, that was at the time of the evening sacrifice. At that time, the sunlight had again begun to shine. And then Christ was about to lay down his life. He could do so because his work was finished. And he cried out, "It is finished." In Matthew's Gospel, or Matthew's account of the Gospel, perhaps I should say, we read that the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, or from the other parts of the temple, was torn from the top to the bottom. God himself, as it were, had hanged that curtain there to make clear what? To make clear that no one could go directly into the presence of God because of sin. But as Christ had offered himself as the sacrifice for his people, the door to God, into the presence of God, was opened wide. And there came that what Hebrews 10 calls that new and that living way by which Christ, as the first one, entered. And he said it, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Notice that he did not die passively, but he died actively. He died with the name Father upon his lips. That was the great moment for the Lord Jesus Christ as the second Adam. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died with the name Father on his lips points to it, that the Father heart was open. And the Father's hand was faithful. And the Father's house was open and ready. And that's what we will see with the help of the Lord surely this evening. The final word of the Lord Jesus from the cross. And I wrote down for my theme, Jesus committing himself to his Father. 3 thoughts. God's Father heart open. God's Father hand faithful. is faithful and God's Father's house is ready. Those three thoughts. Jesus committing himself to his Father. God the Father's heart is open. God the Father's hands are faithful. And God the Father's house is ready. What I'll do in those three, with the help of the Lord, those 3 points, congregation, we'll first take up the truth of those words, or that word for Jesus, and then the lesson for you and me. Then when we come to the second point, we'll do the same thing. The truth of that word, or those words for Jesus, and then the lesson for us. First of all, we should notice that the first word in the final saying of Jesus from the cross is the word Father. On the cross at 12 o'clock at noon, the sixth hour, the Lord Jesus Christ had descended into that dreadful depth where God the Father was not with him, but against him. The Father's heart had been closed to Christ as the second Adam, as the substitute for his people. And the sun was darkened for those 3 hours. And the darkening of the sun was, you could say, only a sign of the dreadful depth that Christ actually experienced, and at the end of which he cried, not Father, my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, a number of weeks ago we considered that the first saying of Christ from the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But in the midst of his suffering, he had said, not Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm not preaching on those words, congregation, but when you think about it for just a few moments, then you must say with me this evening, those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those words are such deep words that we can hardly think about those words, hardly enter into those words. But that he had been totally cast out. But at the end of his suffering, at the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he came again into the Father's communion. And he was fully conscious of it and said, Father. Oh, that word contains the blessedness of God's Father heart open to him. You know, we often, I don't know if we do it often, but we often speak about a mother's love for her child or for her children. But the love of a father, if I may use that analogy, the love of a father is also deep, if it's right, and wide. But we live in a world of delinquent fathers, absent fathers in the world, but also in the church, often. Fathers are so easily caught up with their work or their play And you see the results often in their children. They know he's their dad, but they sense that their father's heart has not been open to them. And as a result, those children are not thriving. Oh, physically perhaps. But you know, in our culture today, especially, many children are dying inwardly because their father's heart, their natural father's heart, is close to them. And fathers in our midst, your children need your heart to be open to them. Your heart is then like the sun to them, and it needs to shine on the children. It needs to nurture the children and mold the children. And if you are distant from your children or cold to your children, then your children's spirit will shrivel up, as it were. Your children need to be able to see in your love and in your action and in your prayers that your heart is open to them. And when your heart as a father is close to your children, then it's like a dark cloud hanging over the life of your children. But when it's open to your children, they can read your love and your warmth and your light and your health and your security. But let's think of Christ, that he said, Father. What's the lesson for us? Because Christ did not say that merely for himself, but he did it as the second Adam, as the substitute for all those given to him by his Father. Remember, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And you must know that by nature, God is not our Father because of sin. And when the Holy Spirit teaches you that, then you become convicted, and then you humble yourself, and then you say what the prodigal son, when he was still in that far country, said, I will go to my father, and I will say to my father, I am not worthy to be called thy son. And when the Spirit brings you to that, then you clearly sense and you acknowledge that you are not worthy of the Father's love. You're apart from the Father. You're outside the Father. And then you realize there is no hope for me, for you. And you say it. I have left him by my sin. I have closed my heart to him. That's my sin. And there is no way back to him from out of me. And then when the Spirit brings you to the cross and to that darkness, and he teaches you, that's what you deserve, to be cast out into outer darkness. And at the end you hear the Savior say, it is finished, I thirst, it is finished. Father! That in Christ, God's Father's heart is opened. To whom? To wayward sinners like me and you. And then the word Father in our text, in this saying of Christ, is more glorious than the sun shining again upon the earth at Calvary as well, after the darkness. Then that word Father is like a door into heaven, a door into the Father's heart for you. Beloved, do you hear, and do I hear, the gospel in that name, Father, as one of the very last words spoken from Christ's lips on the cross? It shows to us in the gospel God's Father heart, once closed by my sin, now opened. Become opened. And that's then not only a miracle of which you say, what a wonder. How can it be? Not only once, but also the more the Lord shows you His grace, that wonder stands out to you. And again, you know that God's people, after they're convicted of sin and brought to a saving knowledge of the Savior and in Him of the Father, they find that their life is not as they had intended it to be. They backslide. They find themselves often backsliding or becoming lukewarm. And then God's Father heart becomes again hidden from us. Is there anyone here this evening like that? Or look then with the eye of faith, oh, that needs to be given you. It's such a gift of God. But look then with the eye of faith given to you to see Christ's forsakenness on account of your sin, my sin. But then also see God's Father heart opened up again and see and hear the love of God in Christ. Father. Let's move to our second point, that God's Father hand or hands are faithful. And then first of all, the truth for Christ. Father in, isn't that a remarkable phrase, congregation? Jesus is about to lay down His life and He says, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. We read a part of Psalm 31 where you have in the fifth verse the words, into thine hand I commit my spirit. It's a remarkable thing, congregation, that Christ during His ministry quoted so much of the scriptures. And it's such a remarkable thing that on the cross He did the same. And that in this very last saying from the cross, He again quotes from a psalm. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Psalm 22, in this last word. Psalm 31. That's also a lesson for us, if I may already mention it. What better thing is there for us in life than to sing the Psalms and to live by them and one day to die by them? God, even on the cross, gives strength to His Son, Jesus, from the Psalms. And you and I may draw strength from the Psalms in our life and in death. But then there is something remarkable about 31, Psalm 31. You know, in Psalm 31, David is praying for deliverance from his enemies. And he says, if I may read it from my notes, David says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. You see, David was in a situation of distress. But in his distress, he trusted in God. And he committed his spirit into the hand of God, and he said it into thy hand, I commit my spirit, I entrust my spirit. David didn't know how to hold his life together any longer, but he entrusted it to God, and he left it, as it were, with God. Now, isn't this something that's very hard for you and for me to do? Especially in difficult circumstances in life, to trust in God, to lean on God, to commit yourself to God. And to commit yourself to God, or commend yourself into the Father hands of God, that means that you give up your own efforts and you trust wholly in God, solely, not in self, but in an other. That's what Psalm 31 speaks of. The psalmist committed, I think it's spelled out specifically in verse 14, that he committed his spirit to God. And what did he receive? He received deliverance from death. Jesus, on the other hand, quotes those words of David. Those same words. As he was dying, he did not anticipate to be delivered from death and to come down from the cross. But he trusted God even in dying on the cross, laying down his life and in death. I read in one of the commentaries these words that Christ says, as it were, these words, in this very moment, I surrender my total existence into thy hands, O Father. As shortly my body will be laid into the tomb, I myself can no more look after it, but I entrust it to thee for safekeeping. And thus he entrusts himself to the mighty Father hand and knows that he shall dwell in safety. As Psalm 4 verse 9 puts it, Thou Lord only makest me to dwell in safety also in the grave. You hear that? Also here, as he is about to lay down his life, he gives his life and he gives his death into the hands of his Father. And he says, Father, take my life and take my death. And he lays them into the hands of the Father. Now you will know that the words from Psalm 31 were used regularly in the Jewish synagogue in their service, in which they would pray those words, and they would teach, mothers would teach, fathers would teach their children as an evening prayer to say, Lord, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Jesus must have learned those same words, likely from his mother Mary at bedtime as a child. Something like we were taught by our parents. I know when I was a child in the Netherlands, my mother and father taught me a prayer with something similar to these words. And here in this country we have often used a very simple prayer, teaching our children, Now I lay me down to sleep, I ask thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die, before I wake. And the children don't understand, well, they may understand it in a measure, but imagine it would happen if I should die before I wake. I ask thee, Lord, my soul to take for Jesus' sake. That's also a childlike prayer of trust. And how important it is to teach our children such a prayer and to model such a prayer to our children. Now that's how Christ, in a childlike Father, in a childlike prayer, that's how the dying surety entrusts himself to his Father's faithful hands. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What's the lesson for you and for me from these words? You know, we face many difficulties in life. And if we haven't, we will most likely. And you know that God's people, when they are brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior, when they are given life from heaven in regeneration, and they are brought to a true conversion, God's people, they must go through many difficulties in life, many trials. And they often wonder, how can I get through this trial, these difficulties? What a blessing it is when a child of God can fold his hands and pray for Jesus' sake. I commend also myself to thy hands in these difficulties, O Father. And even what a privilege it is when we learn to do that in prayer, as we are about to die. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I trust thee as the keeper of my life, and in the moment of death to be the governor of my life. Do you and I trust God the Father? And do we trust the hands of God the Father? You know, we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, speaking about the providence of God, that nothing comes by chance, but that everything comes by way of God's Father hand. Do we believe that? And do we trust those hands of the Father as Christ did on the cross in his dying moments? Is it not so in your and my life that there are times that we do not trust God's Father hands? Is it not so that sometimes the providence of the Lord brings us in such difficulties that we become fearful as we think of God's Father hands? And we say, do his hands design that which is good for me? Can I trust those hands? Should I not fall back on some other hands in these circumstances? No. Look to Jesus on the cross. He shows the way. He paves the way. If there was anyone ever who received a bitter cup from the hands of his Father, was it not Christ? And did Christ not say in Gethsemane, the cup that the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Now put your difficult circumstances in your life next to that cup of Christ. Do you dare to do it? And does your cup then compare too much in comparison? But what does Christ say in his dying moment? He says, Father, into thy hands. He takes his spirit, he lays it down. He's active in his death. He takes his spirit, his most precious possession, you might say, and he lays them, commends them into the Father's hands. How instructive this is. And you know that God often uses difficult circumstances in my life and in your life to bring us to that point. To let go of trust in self and to entrust yourself into the hands of God. I found something, congregation, in the commentary of Calvin, John Calvin, on Psalm 31, and would like to read just a little part on this. This is what he writes. He says, no man can possibly commit his life to God with sincerity, but he, that is, except he, who considers himself exposed to 1,000 deaths, and that his life hangs by a thread, or differs almost nothing from a breath which passes suddenly away. That's how Calvin put it. And you can tell that Calvin, and you read it often in his commentary, you can tell that Calvin was, by God's grace, that kind of a man. Are you? Am I like that? This evening we are here in the Scriptures, outside the city of Jerusalem, in the Spirit, may it be, at Calvary, Golgotha. And God is teaching you and me a lesson. Do you know what lesson it is? You know, pretty soon you walk back to your car and off you go. And when you sit in the car, what if your son would say, Dad, did you learn the lesson that the minister talked about from the text? What would you say? What is the lesson that God is teaching us tonight, congregation? Tonight, Christ is teaching you and me to die to your inclination to hold on to things yourself. Isn't that us by nature? But our hanging on to things ourselves, that leads eventually to death. Instead, Christ is teaching in this word, spoken to the Father, but written for our instruction. He is teaching us that when we commit everything into God's Father hands, then we must die to ourselves, and only then shall we truly live for Christ's sake. You hear that? Then you know, on the one hand, of God's Father heart being open, and you know of God's Father hands being faithful. I read something beautiful in a sermon of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I would like to read just a little section there. He says, no man would find it difficult to die who died every day. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? But think of Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, I die daily. Remember those words? I die daily. Now that's what Spurgeon is referring to. He says, no man would find it difficult to die who died every day. He would have practiced it so often that he would only have to die but once more. And then he goes on a little further and he says, happy are they who every morning go down to Jordan's brink and wade into the stream in fellowship with Christ, dying in the Lord's death, being crucified on his cross and raised in his resurrection. Then when they shall climb their Pisgah, they shall behold nothing but what has been long familiar to them as they have studied the map of death. End of quote. My brother and sister, should we not learn to do something exactly like that? And that we make that our prayer, Lord, teach me. And teach me again this art of thy grace. And give me that grace. Oh, work it in me. Then I will entrust myself into thy strong hands that shall carry me through the depth of death to the Father's house, which is above, where Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. So that's the second lesson, that God's Father's hands are faithful. And that takes us to God's Father's house being ready. I'll try to do that very briefly. And having said thus, we read in our text, he gave up the ghost. He breathed his very last. And as I said earlier, the Lord was active in his death. He actively laid down his life. And he died. And at that moment, his soul was taken up into the Father's hands. Congregation, all of us must die. No one of us knows when. No one of us knows how exactly. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who assumed flesh and blood from the Virgin Mary, he had come from heaven in order to die. He was born in order to be able to die for his people. Thereunto he assumed our flesh, our blood, our soul, our spirit, in order to be able to lay it down. And that's what he does here on the cross. He lays it down into his Father's hands, knowing that in heaven there is God's Father's house. And he had said it to his disciples in the night in which he was betrayed in the upper room, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And what's the lesson for us there, congregation? In that point, what is it? Let me put it in a question to you and say, can you think of anything more beautiful than God's Father's house? You know, our homes are lovely homes, generally speaking, are they not? But our homes, where you live, in Springford or in Otterville or elsewhere in this area, your home where tonight you hope to go to sleep, your home is but a temporary home. One day, you must leave that home behind. Because that home is not eternal. And what a blessing that there is God's Father's house. And what a blessing when with all the difficulties in this life and the distresses in this life that you can look beyond your difficulties and beyond your distresses and beyond your sins, and that you can look and long for God's Father's house that is above. But you know, we would never enter God's Father's house if there were not God's Father's hands. In Christ, which come to take hold of us in this life, if it's right. And that's also the case in everyday life on this earth. Is it not even the case in ordinary life? When the father goes for a little walk with one of his children or several of his children, and they walk on the sidewalk somewhere. And dad says, stay close by, don't get on the road. Maybe you're not holding hands. And all of a sudden you see your little child go off the sidewalk on the road with the car coming. And in no time you grab your little one, don't you? That's in life here. That also applies spiritually. You would never come into God's Father's house if there were not God's Father's hands in Christ, which in a situation of difficulty and distress holds on to you or keep you in the danger. Is God's Father's hand then not a very important thing? What do you think? But would there be God's Father's hands if there were not God's Father's heart? And God's Father's heart has been opened in Jesus Christ for all those given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you wonder now, but how can I know that I'm one of those given to His Son? How can I come to personally know that God's Father's heart has been opened for me? How can I know if there is also an eternal love of God the Father for me? Oh, for this you need a true and a saving faith to look away from yourself and to look to this dying Savior on the cross who says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so, congregation, I say in closing this evening, Golgotha, Calvary, is a school for you and me, in which you and in which I must learn to die. To die. To myself and you to yourself. And to your own holding on to sin and relying on yourself. And where you must learn to live out of Christ and His finished work. And this final word of Christ on the cross, Father, instructs us in that very lesson. And it applies not only to Good Friday, but it applies also to the day after Good Friday, to Saturday, and Sunday to come, and the Lord willing, Monday. These words apply to everyone in a measure, to those who are young. And it applies to those of us who are in the middle years. And it applies to those of us who are getting older and on in years. And it applies to those of us who are in the midst of troubles or assaults from Satan. And it applies to those of us who are so close to death. I just made a visit yesterday morning, yet before I drove up yesterday afternoon from Grand Rapids. And just as I was out on my visit, on my way out, the elderly couple was telling me, a whole group of people younger than myself, whom I have never known but who recently died the last couple of weeks, but they knew them. And they were well, so it seemed. And there came the day of death. This is a lesson for you and for me. And if you may know this Savior, He's the way to the Father. No man can come to the Father but by me, He has said. But if you may know this Savior, in truth, by a childlike faith or confidence, then you may know that there is God's Father heart and God's Father hands and God's Father house. This is Good Friday, congregation, and it is the glory of Calvary, the glory of the cross, that things did not end in darkness or darkly, but at 3 o'clock the light began to shine again. And through Christ, the Father's heart swings, if I may use that verb, swings open. And God's Father's hands are open. And God's Father's house is ready. Only for Christ's sake. And only for poor sinners like me and you. Now don't remain apart from Christ or outside of Christ. Because outside of Christ, you may have a baptized forehead, but outside of Christ, you will end in outer darkness. Must you not learn the lesson of this evening? Is God not worthy to be trusted? What better thing is there than to entrust your soul and your life and your eternity than to this Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? But then you do need to die to self and self-reliance. Oh, you say, but I can't do that. I was visiting this week an elderly brother, and I said, shall we pray? And he said, I can't pray. And he folded his hands, and he said, merciful Lord, I can't pray. Open thou my lips and give me a prayer, not just in my head, he said, but in my heart. For Christ's sake. Golgotha teaches through the Holy Spirit that lesson. And then it becomes, you could say, as easy as a child's prayer. So simple. But you need to become as a child, spiritually speaking. And you need to stoop down and humble yourself. But then to live in the light of that Father's heart. And that's what it is to truly live. Can you not pray this night? Oh Lord, open now my lips and give me that prayer. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep for Jesus' sake. Amen.